Welcome to the Connected Insurance Podcast, presented by Agency Revolution. Listen to interviews with the most influential people in the insurance industry. Learn the most important strategies, tactics, trends, and challenges facing today's independent insurance agents and brokers. New episodes every Wednesday. Visit agencyrevolution.com and click media to explore the Connected Insurance family of resources for insurance agents and brokers. Subscribe today and get updates delivered right to your inbox. And now, without further delay, the Connected Insurance Podcast.
Hey everyone, it's Joel and welcome to the Connected Insurance Podcast, brought to you by Agency Revolution, where we help you connect with your clients in ways you never thought possible, creating the customer experience of your dreams. Today, I'm having a conversation with a great friend of mine, Rick Fox, who is the Vice President of Agency Associations and Networks over at Vertafore. Today, he and I get into a great conversation, very grassroots, about associations, networks, what they are, what you need to know, what you can expect as an independent insurance agency when it comes to those things, associations and networks. So without further ado, here is Rick Fox. Hey, Rick, thanks for joining us. I know your time is valuable, and I know you've got a ton of expertise in something that we get questions about here all the time, and that's associations and networks. So you got a long history in this industry. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Joel, first, thanks for having me, man. I count you as one of the really good, solid people in this industry. I know you would bend over backwards for any independent agent out there. And so before we go any farther, man, I appreciate you and I'm glad to be here and I'm glad we get to have this conversation.
Thanks, Rick.
So here's kind of my quick Reader's Digest version of my story. Back a long time ago, longer than I'm willing to mention, I was an agency owner. I started my agency from scratch, independent agency. And I started building, you know, the slow way, the grind way. And once I started to kind of get established and have a nice size book of business, I started acquiring other agencies and actually acquired six more along the way and then made those all into one larger agency and exited back in 2009. The beauty of that was I had no intention of selling my agency, and I was just a call from a guy that I knew from one of the, I think it was a Safeco golf tournament, that said, "Hey, I want to buy your agency." And I said, "Hey, I want to buy yours too." And he had brought on a partner that was deep pockets, and they were going to go big, and they were looking to make some acquisitions. And so I threw out, you know, a fairly outlandish number. And we laughed and joked and talked about our kids for a couple minutes, got off the phone. He called me back 2 days later and said, "Done. That number you said, done." I was like, wait, hold on. I should ask for more. I was at that point, I was doing some other things. I was entrepreneuring in some other industries, and the timing was right. And I really wanted to get into tech as well at that point. And with my knowledge of insurance, living in Seattle at the time, and Vertafore's headquarters was there, it was a very good match. I went to work for Vertafore. As you know, very, very much know, I left Vertafore and went to Agency Revolution, where you and I worked. I ran Agency Revolution for a while and set that company up for success, and then exited there with that acquisition from FMG Suite. Stayed on for a bit and then had an opportunity to come back with this with what I'm doing now currently with Vertafore, which is I run the networks and associations team here. And I believe this particular channel is so important to what our people are doing in this space and the independent channel, that this is the way we stay ahead of the curve. If you're serious about growth and success in this industry, and currently you're not leveraging your relationships with either an association and or a network, I think you're going to start feeling that pain in the upcoming years. I think everybody's heading in that direction. In fact, Joel, a stat that I just read is by 2023, 85% plus of independent agents will be members of some version of a network. So I think that's the direction of the industry. I believe in it. And you know me well enough from our years together to know that I too I'm all about advocating and helping the independent agent. And I think we have an opportunity with what I'm doing at Vertafore to push the independent channel to to heights that we haven't seen in a really long time.
Rick, that's a ton of information. I got a very important question to ask you right now.
Yes.
What's the difference between an association and a network?
It's a great question, and some people don't know.
Like, it's a great question. Know, and I'm sure other people are asking, like, aren't they all the same? Tell me.
All right, so the best way to describe it is an association is something that, let me use the layperson version of how I describe it to people that don't understand, and then we'll work from there. So an association to me, this is stereotyping. It's very generic. There are pieces of associations that are much more involved in this. But the best way to describe an association and the difference between that and a network is that an association is like joining a health club, joining a gym. You can use it when you want to. You kind of go there and maybe you work out, or you go because there's a racquetball or whatever you do. Sometimes you go a couple months, you don't do anything, right? That's the generic version of what an association is. Now, again, there's pieces of associations out there that do much, much more and act more like networks. But a network, by this definition, is like going to see a personal trainer. It is very much more involved. You are, you know, you're getting support from them. You're part of something. You are setting up specific goals and using that person to make you the best you can be. That's the best way I can describe it in lay terms. But if I dig a step deeper and bring it back to the insurance side, you know, the big associations, the big PIA, there's, you know, IAOA, think these other sort of associations, they do a really good job of providing coverage for things. And I don't mean insurance coverage, although that is part of it, but I mean where people might have holes, like where do I get my E&O insurance? I think a big topic right now, I don't know if you've been talking about this, but is the shift from the captives that are becoming independents, like what Nationwide is doing right now. The association is a great place for you to go for those things. And some of them have good market access to get to markets you might not have appointments with in your agency. But for the most part, you work with them, again, generically, you work with them at a level that is on your terms when you need them and you can use those kind of things. Okay, full stop on associations. What's the difference between that and a network? A network is a group of agencies that's come together for different reasons. One of those, the main reason is market access. Usually, there is an opportunity there to bundle business or aggregate business in a way that's going to help with your situation with a carrier. One is you might not have that access. Two, you're either getting better programs with that carrier, or you're getting a bulked aggregated number that goes to that carrier for possible contingency bonuses and things like that. They're also good at things like relationships with vendors, relationships like a lot of them have with us at Vertifor, the relationships they have with companies like Agency Revolution. That comes in the way of great information, potential good pricing, access to certain people at the organization, like whether that be their own personal customer service person, someone like myself or my team that's able to answer questions at a level that might not just be as easily answered by the masses who are calling an 800 number. So you've got, let me just back up. So you've got market access, you've got this access to vendor relationships, and what the good associate or networks are doing is they're vetting the technology and things like that on the tech side prior to giving you recommendations. And they do a really good job of not being vendor specific. They're very vendor agnostic. So they will come up with options for you. The other things that it does, it gives you what it is actually called, which is a network. It gives you the ability to network. It gets you in with other like-minded agencies to find out what best practices are, to find out what's working, to find out what possibly you're missing or something that could make your agency better. Inevitably, it could be partners for mergers or acquisitions and things like that. And then from the network itself, you're getting support in a way that is, let me help you, again, best practices. Are we looking at growth goals? Are they help with your planning for the next year? Because a lot of the networks can actually fire agencies. Now, there's some that the agencies actually own a piece of the network, so that becomes a little more difficult. But if you're not pulling your weight, especially if these agencies are aggregating business to get better contingency bonuses, then they have the opportunity to say, yep, okay, you're on probation or you're gone. So the network is really more, it's tight knit. They work together and they really help agencies get to the next level. If you have niche marketing or you're a medium-sized agency and you need specific help in specific areas, whether that be through market access, whether that be through expertise or anything else, they lean heavily on their network to make their agencies run.
Yeah. I got a couple questions here, Rick, and one's on a technology side and one's on something you kind of just said here. So I'll start there because it's reason. So I'm an independent agent and I'm out there and I'm floating in the wind. Maybe I'm a captive going independent, or I've just been independent for a long time and looking to make some changes. Is there any like red flags or something I should be worried about? Because something you kind of said about, hey, I could be fired by this network. Should I be scared of getting involved with a certain network an independent, or something I should watch for?
Well, I would say start with what kind of an agency are you? If you're a growth agency that has a certain level of business acumen and you are running a strong agency, you have no worries in the world. It's the ones that are, and we know them, Joel, we've seen them around. It's the lifestyle business that's hanging on for the last few years before they sail off into the sunset. You know, network's job is to grow. A network's job is to help you grow. And so if you become that 300% loss ratio agency with a growth of negative 14%, can you see where you might be on the chopping block a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely.
So no, it's not a red flag, but you know, I hope that I'm assuming, just because I know what you do at Agency Revolution on this podcast, because I was part of creating it, that the people listening in are looking to get better. And if you're looking to get better, you have no red flag in the world. You should be talking to networks and finding the right fit and leveraging that to grow your book.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So that's on a revenue. It's on a technology side, like, you know, and part of this is a little bit on my end playing, you know, the conversations that I have day in and day out, but there's a certain expectations of on a technology side, like you suggested that they do some vetting to provide, rather than say, hey, there's all these options, maybe narrow it down for a couple. But is there a certain level of expectation I should have as an agency, or maybe even on the network side, to be able to provide good solutions? Like, what's the expectation on a technology side?
Yeah, so when it comes to the tech side of the network, you're looking at a few different things. We know, let's just start with the lifeblood of the agency, which is the management system, right? There's plenty of providers out there. There's there's Ourself and Applied, which would be sort of looked at as the Coke and Pepsi of the management system world. But there's other providers too that offer, depending on the agency. If it's a small agency, there's specific systems to that might be more price effective. We personally have a small agency system as well that's the best on the market. Of course, I'm drinking the Kool-Aid, but when it comes to the management system specifically, there's not a ton of vetting that goes on, because everybody kind of knows. Like, there might be a lien, but at the network level, they're going to bring on people that are Epic. They're going to bring on people that are AMS360. They're going to bring on people that are HawkSoft, whatever that is. They're not saying you have to switch to this. They're saying, if you're not happy, we have this relationship with this provider. So that's at the management system level. So vetting might not be the right term, because we all kind of know what we know about the management system world. My job is to go make that relationship much stronger on many other different layers. And what I mean by that is my relationship with a network from Vertiforce perspective is, okay, we have this relationship. We've created not only maybe co-branded marketing, we're doing webinars for them on behalf of their existing member base. We are sending out thought leadership help for the network to add value for their customers. We're doing things like creating, for a good network, they have some version of a personalized person, but they have a team, like we have a network team in place that they can call directly. They know who they're talking to. We have me and my upper, you know, the executive level of my team that you can call when there's a big problem that then can help an agency who's having trouble getting through the maze that any SaaS company has, right? There's support, but then there's also customer service. And then separate from that is billing and all of these things. So we can tie that all together at the network level and bring that down. Okay, so back to your question. If I take it one level below the management system, we're talking about things like marketing automation, what Agency Revolution does, e-signatures, things like payment online, electronic payment. I could go on and on. Companies like a social survey that's doing things with reviews online. Any of these companies that are out there, the network is doing a much better job of finding that information for their people and breaking through all the noise. Now, I know for a fact you are the best marketing automation company on the block. That doesn't mean there isn't a bunch of noise out there with other ones that are doing something similar or not quite as good or not quite the same. So hopefully the networks are doing a little of that homework for an agency that, as you and I know, their hair's on fire all day long and they don't have time for it. So they bring a level of consistency and awareness to certain products that might help. It also, like I said before, when you're part of a network, you also have access to the other members. So your agency is talking to my agency because we're both in the same network. I've been using Agency Revolution for 2 years and it's revolutionized the way that I communicate with my customers. So I have not only the network who knows that because they know I've been successful with it, but I can have a direct conversation with another agency in my network and find out the pluses and minuses of anything.
Yeah, I think networks, that technology is awesome. Access to carers, that's really, really important. But for my two cents as someone that spent a few years as an independent agent myself, I think access to those people that are kind of in your boat is hugely invaluable.
Well, and if you look at it from the perspective that whenever I talk to agencies now, I as quickly as I can determine what level of business acumen they have. And what I mean by that is, are they a really, really good producer that had a book of business and now runs that business as if they're still an agent versus a business owner? So you're spot on, Joel, because the agencies that are starting to think like businesses are the ones that see the value in exactly what you just said, in a network. And I don't mean the network, but I mean a network of individuals that I can get better with, because you and I have always said we work together. We've said this to a million agencies. They're so busy working in their business, they spend no time working on their business. Take a minute. That it doesn't need to be as much work as you think, especially if you're connecting with a group of like-minded thinkers with a network that can help you move in that direction. Does that make sense?
It makes total sense. And I'll tell you the one thing that I was recently at an event myself of a network, and I made the comment. Someone made a comment to me. It's like, well, where do you think I'm going to find time to do all this? You know, I got renewals to worry about, and I'm like. Boy, listen, if your biggest worry is that you've got a renewal coming up in 30 days, you need to take a step back and reevaluate. You need to have a conversation with some other members of your network here.
Yep. Because it is obviously, like I always say, the three burning questions in any agency principal's mind. Number one, how do I retain the business I already have? Number two, how do I bring new business in? And number three, how do I keep my staff from killing me? that's a nice way of putting it, right? So yeah, you're right, Joel. So this comes down to, and I just did give a shameless plug for our podcast right here. We do the Vertifor Insurance podcast called The VIP, and I'm the host. And I just did this rant on Halloween about planning for next year. And the whole concept behind it was those that are just floating along and wondering about a renewal and not making a plan for how to retain business, get new leads and new business, and get my staff more efficient so they're not about to walk out the door. That's planning. And this is the time of year. We're Q4. We're dead smack in the middle of Q4. If you're not already ahead of your planning for 2020, you better get on it now. And that is, again, that goes right back to what I said, which is business acumen. This is about running a business. You owe that to yourself because this is your, in theory, most of our owners. This is their thing. This is their asset. This is what's going to take them all the way through retirement. That you owe it to your employees because employees want buy-in. They want to know what the direction is. They want to have a plan in place. They will follow you all the way up the hill if they believe in where you're headed. And then third, but probably most important, you owe this to your customers. Because if you're doing things to help retention, that would be things like, communicating with them, adding value to them, telling them ahead of time when there's opportunities to either renew or to add other lines of business, giving them more content and information. Because you've made a plan, because you're running a business and not just selling and being an agent, man, that's where you see that. When I talk to agencies, that's where I see the gap that's so broad between the agencies that are getting by. And we know there's agencies out there where the principal is checked out. He's playing golf 4 days a week, and those agencies still make money. But you know, Joel, because you're out talking to him too, it doesn't take long to talk to one of those guys or gals that runs an agency that you know where they're headed, because they are thinking about it like a business and they're changing the way they do things. And again, to circle all the way back around to where we started, if you're kind of throwing your arms up like, I've only been a producer and I don't really know how to run a business, go talk to a network. They can help you. That's how these things work.
Yeah. And so let me, circling right back, because you've hit so many great points there that really we could probably just do a whole nother podcast here. But so getting back to one of the first.
Hold on. For you, I'll do as many podcasts as you want. You're my man.
Well, that's good. I think you and I could do a great rant.
We could.
We may need a censor.
Much passion on this recording, huh? None.
So here's what I also know, that we on this, particularly on this podcast, we get a lot of listeners to one of the very first points you made, that you know what, as companies like the Nationwides and the Allstates talk about, or in fact moving people, you know, agencies from captive to independent. And I think a lot of those fall in that category where they're a really good producer, maybe not used to running their business per se. You know, could you give us maybe just a couple, like, how do they go find the right network for them?
So it's a great question. And let me make a point on it before I answer the question. So I used to, one of the businesses I used to run, we worked with funding restaurants and bars. And I always use this as an example. Like, we go talk to a small bar owner, and inevitably he was a bartender that wanted to own his own bar. And we go talk to a little bistro owner, and it was inevitably a chef who wanted his own restaurant. Does that qualify that bartender or that chef to run a business? The answer is no, it does not. And that same can be said for the independent agent. I'm not taking a shot at the high-powered producer that now runs an agency. I'm just saying, you know, take a beat and figure out the business part. If you don't know, find people that do. If you're a startup, or you've been, just use Nationwide as an example, you've been a Nationwide captive for the last X amount of years, and all of a sudden now you're independent and you're sort of, you know, you don't have that support anymore, it can be kind of daunting. So the first thing you do is you figure out, how do I get my agency started? I need basically, obviously, the licensing and all that you probably already have. I need two things. I need a cheap, good startup management system. Like our QQ Catalyst is a great example. You know, the competition out there, EasyLinks, has something similar like that. You need a website. Guess what? The guy I'm talking to, Joel Zwicker, can hook you up with a great website that's filled with content that makes you look like you've got 20, 30, 50 employees in your shop. And then you need a plan. And these things they're not easy, but if you take the time, it pays off in the long run. Here's another way. Find a network. Find a way to communicate or to connect with people that are like-minded. And so when you say, how do I choose? Don't talk to one and go, that sounds awesome. Talk to, like, if you were going to go buy a house, you wouldn't just go buy the first house. You'd take a look around and you'd be like, oh, we like that one that was in that one neighborhood, but this one's bigger and we decided bigger is more important. Same thing with the networks. We like the access to these markets or this relationship or the way they want to help me. But this guy, this network over here, they're going to do things that fit more into what I need, whether that be the business side, the accounting side, the marketing side, whatever that might be. And start leaning on that network to do that. And don't forget to leverage associations along the way as well for things like bulk, you know, they'll sell very competitive E&O insurance and things like that and help you with that side. So like, again, all of this is vital. If you're not writing this down, you're going to get off this podcast and go back and do nothing, then shame on you. But at the same time, if you are writing down a few notes, the main note is just spend some time on it and figure it out. You are running a business, so go run it.
Rick, listen, I couldn't thank you enough for the awesome advice. Now, I'm guessing, and I'm going to ask a question here that I don't know the answer to. I'm guessing that if agencies or anybody out there has questions about what associations or networks, you'd be happy to hear from them?
Yeah, you can tell from my passion, Joel, that I really do love advocating for the independent agent. And if you know, you're one man shop, one person shop, all the way up to the biggest in the land, I'd be more than happy to help. So the best way to reach me is, you know, follow me on LinkedIn. I also post a lot of good stuff, that's the best way to get me. If you have questions, like I said, I'd be more than happy to help.
Awesome. So once again, Rick, thank you for your time. And also, I encourage you, check out the Vertifor Insurance Podcast, the VIP. Rick does a pretty good job hosting that. I won't put him up against me or anything. I would never do that to you, Rick. But
yeah, thanks, Joel.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you for listening to the Connected Insurance Podcast. If you found this episode informative, please share it with your peers and colleagues. Explore the Connected Insurance family of resources for insurance agents and brokers by visiting agencyrevolution.com and clicking media. Subscribe and get updates delivered right to your inbox. New episodes every Wednesday.